Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As most Americans believe, the Keystone Pipeline is not operations of thousands of gallons of energy into the local environment. Katie Lewis from our Midwest Bureau explains.
An oil leak discovered in northern Kansas has caused the Keystone Pipeline to be shut down. TC Energy in Calgary says there's been a confirmed release of oil in a creek near the Kansas-Nebraska border and that an estimated 14,000 barrels had been discharged as of late Thursday. No timetable has been given for restarting the pipeline. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
Mexico's government is in talk with Peru's former president, Pedro Castillo, to grant asylum to the impeached leader who now faces criminal charges. Castillo met with Mexico's ambassador to Peru while in detention in Lima Thursday and stated he was at grave risk in the Peruvian capital. As government overspending has taken our nation's financial health in a downward spiral, President Biden announced a $36 billion, with a B, dollar bailout for the financially troubled Teamsters Union Pension Plan. The money will help roughly 350,000 people. The president said the money is coming from COVID relief funds, therefore won't need congressional approval. President Biden securing the release of Brittany Griner from a prison in Russia Thursday. The basketball player was exchanged for one of the biggest gun dealers in the world. The merchant of death is now able to jump back into his role. And again, Biden has left a Marine behind. For 4 years, Paul Whelan wakes up in his Russian prison cell and sings our national anthem despite his captors, according to his brother David, who is still waiting for the administration to do the Marine right. We are USA Radio News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
The second release of Elon Musk's Twitter files dropped Thursday night and reveals how un-American the social media giant was, secretly blacklisting Republican tweets and users. Independent journalist Barry Weiss detailed in a series of posts how Twitter used so-called shadow banning to limit the visibility of tweets coming from users not aligned with Twitter employees' political views. The Federal Trade Commission Thursday sued Microsoft to block its planned $75 billion acquisition of gaming software and online services Activision Blizzard, halting a merger of the technology giants. The FTC commissioners voted 3-1 to move forward with the complaint. The chaos and crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border has become destructive to the men and women working to ensure America's safety. Tim Berg from our Phoenix Bureau explains.
Customs and Border Protection has seen 14 of their agents die by suicide this year, the most in over a decade. Texas Republican State Senator Brian Hughes tells Fox that the Biden administration needs to react.
It's tragic. This should not be a Republican or Democratic issue. This is an American issue. This is about human suffering and death.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The Orion spacecraft will splash down in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of San Diego at 12:40 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
After the top of the hour, welcome back. Bill Martinez with you. Good to have you with us sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you want to check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. We're going to talk about a new book from Aaron Cariotti that exposes the framework for a biomedical security state in the new abnormal. You heard it right, a biomedical security state. Aaron, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be with you.
Well, your book clarifies and brings to the forefront what was exposed during COVID. We have said repeatedly on this show, Aaron, that it's like the veil was pulled back and we were able to have a look-see at the Wizard of Oz here when it came to, the whole medical industry.
I think that's exactly right, Bill. COVID was a kind of unmasking, if you'll excuse the metaphor, in terms of allowing us to see what's been developing for about 20 years. As I explain in the book, The New Abnormal gets into the kind of two-decade history of what I call the biomedical security state, which is the melding together of three different things. First of all, an increasingly militarized public health apparatus. The second element is digital technologies of surveillance and control that allowed for things like vaccine passports, you know, having to show a QR code to get on a plane, get on a train, go to a restaurant, get back into your own country of origin, something that would have sounded insane in 2018, 2019, that I have to kind of verify a good behavior public health report that I've done what the authorities told me to do, including injecting myself with a vaccine utilizing entirely novel technology that's never been tested on human populations at large scale before. This would have seemed astonishing to us prior to this sort of psychological trauma of more than a year of lockdowns and social distancing and masking. And, you know, by 2021, I think we were willing to do just about anything to get our rights and freedoms and some semblance of a normal life back. So you have this militarized public health, you have these digital technologies that allow for very micro-level controls over populations. Mm-hmm. And all of that is backed up by the third element, which is the police powers of the state and the authority of both elected and unelected public health bureaucrats and politicians. And what I argue in The New Abnormal is that, in a sense, COVID was just the beginning. Even though many of these specific policies have been rolled back in recent months, that whole infrastructure, that apparatus that I just described, has been put in place, has been widely accepted, sad to say, by much of the population, and is just ready and waiting for the next declared crisis or the next declared public health emergency. And our sort of new model of governance entails precisely jumping from one declared emergency to the next in order to maintain emergency powers and maintain control over the population. And so the book is not just a retrospective on the pandemic and what happened to us over the last 3 years, but The New Abnormal really tries to be forward-looking and ask, where is this going next? If
exactly.
sort of wake up and realize what's going on.
Well, people argued after 9/11, I mean, look at it. This is almost the same infrastructure that
exactly.
happened after 9/11, right?
Exactly. That's right. And, you know, the war on terror worked for about 10 years, from about 2001 to roughly 2011. And then the national security and intelligence apparatus was looking for a new enemy, right, to feed the machine. And novel pathogens were a perfect way to do that because they're ever-present, they're invisible. You can never fully eradicate them, no matter how authoritarian your measures become and how stringent your surveillance becomes. And so that prepares the way for a kind of ongoing crisis. And that's what we see now. So the war on terror worked for a couple of decades, and now we've pivoted to the war on viruses or the war on pathogens.
Yes, exactly. And as you say, in the new normal, it's or new abnormal, abnormal, let's underscore that then and put it in bold type as big as you can fit on your computer screen or even on your wall here, because this is what it is. I mean, our constitutional rights have been abdicated. Our liberties have been cut short, and it's like it's never enough. I mean, in some cases, Dr. Cariotti, I got to tell you, I read, being a man of faith and reading, you know, a scripture, what I see happening is almost similar to what happened to the Jews when they were in Egypt. You know, they got so big that the controlling forces said, well, how can we do this? How can we constrain these people? And they found ways to limit their liberties, to enslave them. And this seems to be the dynamic we're entering into, that this new abnormal requires that we have less freedom and more enslavement.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. And, you know, the modern totalitarian threats need not involve concentration camps or, you know, enchaining people literally, as was done in ancient Egypt. They don't need to involve secret police or even mass surveillance, although that is certainly going to be a part of it. The central feature of all totalitarian systems, as was pointed out by the political theorist Eric Voegelin, who studied the 20th century totalitarians very deeply, he said, as bad as all those elements were, the central feature of totalitarian systems is the prohibition of questions, the inability to challenge certain ideas. And we're seeing that in spades with the collusion between government and big tech to censor any information that would contradict their preferred COVID policies. We're seeing that with just the exclusion of people from public conversation if they don't hold the right ideas. So that, you know, people can be placed in a kind of moral ghetto or a digital ghetto, you could say, when it comes to communications, which does not necessarily require that you lock them up. And so I think it's important for folks to understand, because, you know, the idea that we may be moving toward more authoritarianism or totalitarianism or kind of something analogous to the Jewish enslavement by the Egyptians, well, that sounds overblown. You know, we just had elections yesterday. We're still a free and open society. Well, are you able to say what you think? Do you
right.
feel that you need to self-censor in public places? Are you able to challenge ideas, or are you told to just shut up and listen to the experts because you're not qualified to have a rational opinion about anything? These are very, very ominous signs that will undermine a free society every bit as much as, you know, outright dictatorial control that rules by violence or physical force.
Exactly. Well, look what's happening in California. I mean, you know, they've passed a law where they want to put pressure on doctors that you either conform. If you don't, your license is threatened, and they're going to come and get you. Only in California.
That's right.
It's amazing, right?
Well, I'm pleased to report a group of doctors, myself included.
I'll tell you what. Let's do this, Dr. Cariotti. We got to go to break. Let's pick it up on the other side. More from Aaron Cariotti after this. Stay with us.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. That's 800-584-2518.
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're talking with Dr. Aaron Cariotti, his new book that exposes a framework for a biomedical security state in the new book titled The New Abnormal. Dr. Cariotti, before we went to break, you started to mention about how the doctors are responding to this pressure from Governor Newsom in California to get these doctors to not ask questions, to, you know, buck up and and conform with what the state has determined. I didn't realize that the state suddenly assumes some sort of medical, medical educational treatment, some higher ground. Right. But I guess they've self-appointed, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. No, what's happened is the state passed a law, Assembly Bill 2098, which empowers the medical board to discipline any physicians that contradict the government's preferred COVID public health policies. And the medical board itself is not necessarily populated by physicians. Half the members of the medical board are not physicians, but lawyers, and not people with medical expertise that can
wow.
make judgments on science. But in any case, in addition to that, and in addition to basically placing a gag order on physicians such that patients cannot trust that they're getting an honest answer from their doctor if they ask about COVID issues, this also violates the free speech rights of mm-hmm. physicians and the equal protection rights under the Constitution. So a group of physicians, myself included, filed a case in federal court recently, Hogue v. Newsom is the name of the case, if folks want to look it up, challenging this on constitutional grounds. We just submitted a request for a preliminary injunction, which would halt the application of the law, when it's set to go into effect January 1st, while the case is being tried in federal court. And we firmly believe that this law will not pass constitutional muster, and it will eventually prevail. But it certainly has had a chilling effect already and sent a clear message to any doctors or scientists that want to challenge
exactly.
what the state believes to be true about the pandemic or pandemic policy or public health or medical recommendations.
That's so amazing, because when you look back over the past 2.5 years, what was their batting average in terms of getting it right and getting it wrong?
Right. Right. That's exactly right. And
right.
At what point in this whole thing should we have fixated the opinions of the California Department of Public Health and, locked that in as the only truth about COVID? They got it wrong so many times that there's no reason to believe that they've figured everything out,
exactly.
January 1st next year.
And we've got, not to mention, issues that are coming up, which we talked about early on. And I got to tell you, I was repeatedly canceled for this, because only in sharing the idea. I mean, the beauty of having 330 million people in this country is the cumulative intelligence of 330 million, I think, far and exceeds anything that Dr. Fauci could possibly come up with. He's not all knowing, but as this grand experiment, this laboratory that we have available to us, you had people around the country saying, hey, look, I haven't been vaccinated, I haven't gotten COVID, or, my immune systems are strong. I, personally speaking, I got COVID, and I stayed on top of it with my doctor and been running tests even as late as last month, and my immune T cell levels are still robust. And this is, we're talking 18 months later. Dr. Fauci claimed that immunity was only good for maybe 2-3 months. So who's right and who's wrong here?
That's exactly right. And, by the way, the CDC recently endorsed your position. Finally, they caught up mm-hmm. with the science and said we shouldn't discriminate between vaccinated and unvaccinated for two reasons. The first is the one you just mentioned. Natural immunity after infection is robust and durable, and roughly 90% of Americans, vaccinated and unvaccinated alike, now have natural immunity from COVID. And the second reason is that the vaccines never stop infection or transmission. This was the basis for my lawsuit against the University of California's vaccine mandate, which I filed a year ago and which is still in the federal appellate court in the Ninth Circuit. So. A year ago, I was fired from my job. I'd spent 15 years as a professor at the School of Medicine and director of the medical ethics program at UCI. And when I challenged their vaccine mandate and, refused to comply with the mandate, they fired me. So I was canceled for taking a position that the CDC now endorses and that is now widely regarded as sensible and sound based on the evidence.
Well, maybe what will happen for you is what's happening in New York, right? Where, you know, the court said, look, you got to rehire everybody, pay them back pay.
Yeah. Well, that's my hope. I hope that justice is done for all the people who were unjustly fired from their jobs. You know, I have a very sort of public case and am able to sort of prosecute the case in court, but there's tens of thousands, perhaps more, people that don't have a public voice, that don't have the ability to, you know, challenge their employer or challenge the state legally. And so I'm hoping my case will set a precedent for all those folks as well.
Exactly. And plus, the other thing that I wanted to mention to you is that we're finding out, again, what we said early on about the danger of the vaccine, what we didn't know and that we're starting to find out. I mean, it's almost like what happened in the 50s with thalidomide. As you know, it first came in, it was going to help women dealing with nausea and that sort of thing. And years later, we started running into deformity, miscarriages, all other complications, and I think it took them 8 to 10 years to finally say, whoa, this, you know, maybe we should step away from this and not utilize
this
anymore. Well, and now we're having similar reactions and reports happening with these vaccines, you know, early termination of babies, miscarriages, and this sort of thing, and it's like deja vu one more time again.
No, that's correct. These vaccines were inadequately tested and rushed to market, in my view. And we're seeing not only a decline in lack of efficacy over time, but we're also seeing these very, very concerning safety signals that the public health establishment has been ignoring. But the evidence is now becoming so overwhelming that these are problematic for a significant number of people and causing harms for a significant number of people, that it will just be too hard to hide the bodies at a certain point. And, you know, we'll have to contend with reality. I like to say reality always bats in the bottom of the ninth inning. And,
yes.
You know, I think we're getting to the point where you can only cheat nature for so long. You can only cut corners on the scientific process.
But look at the damage.
Before nature bites back.
But the damage that's been done, and there's no recovery because the Big Pharma is protected, right?
Well, that's true. Big Pharma is protected from liability. Except in the case of fraud. And I think there's actually significant evidence emerging that Big Pharma knew about the safety issues.
Exactly. I think so. I think you're right.
We filed a FOIA request to get the Pfizer data from the clinical trials, and it's clear that in the first 3 months of the rollout, they had astonishing lists of side effects, not just myocarditis, but affecting all organ systems in the body. And that information was not made public. People were not given adequate informed consent when they got the vaccine. So if it can be established that Pfizer had clinically relevant information that it withheld from the public, and if the whistleblowers on their clinical trials data prevail in their cases and show that the data management was fraudulent, then that could open up the vaccine manufacturers to liability. But certainly we need reform at the federal level such that those companies are made liable for vaccines in the very same way they're made liable for their medications.
Exactly.
There's no reason that they should be protected for one product and not another. I mean, imagine if Toyota, you know, was liable for safety issues in their cars except for their minivans, right? Nobody would buy their minivan.
Right.
It wouldn't make any sense. You wouldn't trust.
Right. Exactly.
But that's the situation we've set up with vaccine, and it just absolutely, it makes absolutely no sense.
Dr. Aaron Cariotti has been our guest. His book, The New Abnormal. Dr. Cariotti, thank you for the time. Appreciate it. The book is available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Thank you for being with us. Take care.
Thanks, Bill. I enjoyed it.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
I wanted to know why some people who get COVID-19 get it so bad. I found out it may be because they have a high risk factor, such as heart disease, diabetes, being overweight, smoking, and asthma. Even if symptoms feel mild, these factors can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
President Biden securing the release of Brittany Griner from a prison in Russia Thursday. The basketball player was exchanged for one of the biggest gun dealers in the world, the Merchant of Death, and is now able to jump back into his role. For 4 years, Paul Whelan has been waking up in a Russia prison cell singing our national anthem to spite his captors. That's according to his brother David, who is still waiting for the administration to do the Marine right. President Biden announced a $36 billion bailout for the financially troubled Teamsters Union pension plan. The money will help roughly 350,000 people. President said the money is coming from COVID relief funds, therefore won't need any congressional approval. The Orion spacecraft will splash down in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of San Diego at 12:40 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you tune in to Bill Martinez.
We're back with the America. Bill Martinez here. We've got America's money answers man right where we need him, Jordan Goodman. And do we need you, buddy? What the heck is going on? I mean, this is supposed to be the season to be jolly and, you know, going out and shopping and not worrying. But it seems, the Grinch of... bad Christmas is raising its head here. What's going on?
Well, it is. I mean, people are shopping a lot. The stores have been quite busy, and people, particularly upper-income people, are feeling quite confident and going out and buying a lot of stuff. But the middle and the lower-income people are really getting squeezed by high gas prices, high food prices, rents. You know, this inflation is really taking a toll on the average person, and they just don't have a lot of money left over for Christmas gifts this year. And a lot of them are putting on credit cards. The amount of debt is soaring because people are making up the difference in their income not being enough with more debt, which is very expensive. I think the average interest rate on a credit card today is 19%. That's an expensive way to live.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're going to owe our soul to the company store here before we know it, right?
Yeah, well, we're doing that on the national level, and we're doing that on the individual level. I mean, on the national level, we're still borrowing, you know, well over $1 trillion a year. The national debt recently went over $31 trillion. Nobody seems to remember these kind of things. And we still have all kinds of unfunded liabilities, Social Security and Medicare and all these things. Nobody seems to worry about these things. We just keep piling up the debts.
Yeah, they won't until they do, and they have no
it's
choice.
Too late.
Yeah, exactly. No, without a doubt. So what's your sense in terms of any kind of confidence that this administration can solve any problems when it comes to economics?
Well, I mean, their solution is usually to raise taxes and spend more money. And that tends not to work too well. And you're seeing
isn't that what got us in trouble in the first place?
Exactly. I mean, we were energy independent. We had an inflation rate of about 1.5%. We had an unemployment rate of like 3.5%. And before COVID came along, you know, things were going really, really well in many, many ways. And that's just not the situation we're in today. We have inflation at 7.5%. Gas prices are still quite high. Commodity prices are high. Unemployment's been ticking up. And you're seeing a lot of these high-paid workers who thought they were invulnerable getting cut. I mean, Facebook laid off, 11,000 workers. Wow. Amazon, tens of thousands. I could go through a list of companies. PepsiCo laid off thousands of people. You know, companies that are doing well.
Yeah, these are not good signs, are they?
So going into 2023, I think that's what you're going to expect, is the slowdown in consumer confidence. Even if healthy companies are laying people off, you can imagine what the weaker companies are doing.
It's going to be crazy. Jordan, I mean, the core, I mean, in the middle of the hub and the spokes that are, you know, all contributing to this wackiness right now, at the center of that hub, isn't it energy?
Well, it is, and it's been messed up terribly by the whole Russian situation. I mean, it's outrageous.
Well, the Russian and our own. I mean, it's not just Russia. I mean, you can blame Russia, but I mean, when you have a president that says, "Oh, we're going to just turn off the spigot on a dime," what do you think is going to happen?
Right. So that's under Trump, we were energy independent. We were actually exporting energy, and now we're producing. We were producing about 14 million barrels a day. Now it's about 10 million barrels a day, and that's declining. Companies are not investing in new production because the incentives are just not there to do so, and the environmental penalties and so on. These are long-term investments that don't happen quickly, and things we're getting now are paying off from 10 years ago. And so you have to be, it's kind of like planting seeds, think of it that way.
Right.
We're not planting the seeds now that will produce energy 5 and 10 years from now because of the incentives being so anti-oil. The world is running on oil now. It's nice to talk about windmills and solar and all kinds of wonderful stuff, but that's still a relative, maybe 5% of energy produced is
renewables. Like it's like you're Don Quixote chasing windmills, man. Where's your Sancho Pancho, man? That's what we ought to do. We'll dress up the vice president as Sancho Pancho.
There we go.
And we'll have, Don Quixote running around there, Joe Biden falling off the horse.
It is a serious problem.
It's academic because it's like, you know, what was the problem with us being energy independent? I mean, was that a bad thing?
That was a bad thing, yes, because it meant too much pollution, and the energy being produced was causing climate change. So what's more important
is that empirical evidence, though, really?
Polar bears are having a hard time with the icebergs, so that's our main priority, you see, as opposed to starving our economy. I mean, around the world, they're still using a ton of oil. We're trying to do some things. Electric cars, for example, don't, you know, use gas, and that's all the big car companies are moving to electric cars. So that's a good thing. But we're still using a ton of oil.
But we're not prepared. I mean, you know, they're saying by 2030, you're probably going to be able to supply the demand, you know, of about 10%. So 90% of us are going Amish. We're just going to go and buy buggies and a horse. Okay?
Well, like I think California has a law that they will not be able to sell gasoline-powered cars after, I think it's 2035, something like that. And so that's a very big market, and I don't think there's enough raw materials in the world to build as many electric cars with the copper and lithium and everything that goes into a battery. We're going to have to create lots of new mines to get all the raw materials for these things, and those mines are not being created. We literally cannot build the number of electric cars they're talking about mandating.
Right, exactly. Well, see, then, you know, in California, all the cars, you know, will be maligned. They'll now be clunkers.
Right.
And you got to turn them in. I mean, you know, along with your guns and anything else that they feel is nefarious, you know, forget about your freedoms. I mean, just check it all in at the door.
Yeah.
You know, and here's all these great cars.
Of course it
does.
The economy in a major, major way.
Well, of course.
The car industry is a huge industry, maybe second after housing. And they're trying to do this transition. But as we've said, we literally do not have enough raw materials to produce the batteries and all the things that go into an electric car. We just do not have anything close to them. I heard it takes like 7 times the amount of copper to do an electric car than a regular gas-powered car, something like that.
Okay.
So it's going to drive up commodity prices in the long run. It's inflationary, actually, is what we're talking about.
Of course it is. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't, I don't know, I mean, if you're conspiratorial, you would think that this is an outright cabal to crush the economy altogether. I mean, because how do you make the, I mean, I don't know any economic genius, so-called, that would prescribe this kind of program with this kind of rapidity without having any kind of backup or bailout system or some way to ease things into play, not just, you know, flip a switch and think on a dime you're going to do this. And then, and of course, this is all based at the very beginning of a theory. You know, climate change and all this is not, we're not getting this, you know, this. I'm not reading scientific fact on climate change. I mean, it's in the realm of the conspiratorial. But because it's coming from the left, it's like it's dogma, you know?
Right. Well, that's what's driving this policy. I mean, it's clearly that's what's driving it. And
so 20 years down the road, we're going to go, what did we do? Right?
It's true. So that's part of what's hurting the economy, clearly. And I just think the atmospherics of what's going on here, as far as it doesn't seem like we have our act together, not only here, but around the world. China has this huge COVID lockdown policy, which literally millions of people are being locked down. Now they're actually protesting about it.
So you're telling me the world has lost its mind?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's why the markets have been going down so much, because people are losing confidence in the future. You're seeing things like the China COVID policy. In Russia, the place is completely falling apart as they're being embargoed on every possible way. The Middle East, they're raising oil prices by cutting production and hurting themselves in the process. It's just around the world. We're supposed to be the leader, okay? We're not showing the leadership in this kind of turbulent world we're in today.
No, we've surrendered that position, and of course, all our enemies, you know, like China, Russia, Iran, everything, they're licking their chops. And the only thing that's saving us is they're not all that prepared to take over either.
Exactly. Well, right? China thought it was.
Yes.
But because of the zero COVID policy, I mean, they've got a real potential revolution on their hands.
Exactly. I mean, when you're out there in the street, they're yelling, get rid of Xi, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's a death sentence.
It is. That's very dangerous to do. And they hold up literally a blank piece of paper. That's their protest. It's like nothing.
Yeah.
But that's dangerous to do. But they're so frustrated that they're doing it. And, you know, they clamp down on these things. But it's very bad.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you get Joe Biden and Fetterman together, they could probably read what's on that blank paper.
Oh, good.
Just telling you. Well, he's America's money answers man, but there's only so many answers to the crazy questions that we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, he's tenacious. He keeps coming back. Jordan Goodman, your website, Jordan, real quick.
MoneyAnswers.com. They can always email me at jordan@moneyanswers.com.
What's the best product I bought this year? Oh, that's easy. Salonpas pain-relieving patches. The proven medicines in Salonpas patches reduce my pain and let me do the things I need to do every day.
In a recent clinical study, patients using Salonpas reported improved sleep, mood, and the ability to work. They had less pain and were able to reduce their use of oral pain medications.
For pain, I use Salonpas. It's good medicine.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy-to-take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy-to-take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
America, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. Dr. Michael Foley is going to be joining us in just a moment. He is the author of the popular Drinking with the Saints series, and he's got a new holiday book just in time, which addresses Christmas traditions. Why We Kiss Under the Mistletoe. I love the title, Michael.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on.
Well, great to have you here to talk about it. I think sometimes, you know, things are lost in translation from one generation to the next, and when we lose some of that translation and the richness of some of these Christian and Christmas traditions, it's to our loss.
Oh, I completely agree. But, you know, in fairness, a lot of these Christmas symbols are not self-explanatory. You know, why do we deck the halls with boughs of holly and not boxwood? Why do we kiss under the mistletoe? Why the Christmas tree? So one of the fun things about researching this book is that I got to take a deep dive and really get to the answers for all these mysterious customs.
How long did it take you to do this?
Well, that's hard to say because I've always been interested in the subject, so I would write articles on this aspect or that aspect. But then when it turned into a book project, I would say the whole thing went in under a year. It was it was a busy year, but I was able to do it all in a year.
So some would say a year plus a lifetime, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it was great fun. The worst part of it was doing the final edits in July in Central Texas, and there's nothing about a Texas summer that reminds you of Christmas, so it felt really weird writing about snowflakes in July in Texas.
Yeah, in the heat, the only thing, anything close to a snowflake was some big bug flying by, possibly, or something.
So, that's exactly right.
Right, no, I get that. So let's talk about St. Nick, originally a Catholic bishop, and somehow he evolves into jolly old Santa Claus, right?
Oh, it's quite a transformation. There was a real St. Nicholas. He really was a patron of children. He was a great champion of the little guy. And because of that, his popularity just grew and grew after his death. And so even in the Middle Ages, there were rather fantastic legends about St. Nicholas. But then when he got transformed into Santa Claus, that just became a whole other ball of wax. You know, he went from this celibate bishop living in the sunny Mediterranean to having a wife living in the North Pole. I mean, that was quite a transition.
Right, exactly. Well, but the essence of Saint Nick, I think the reason that we connect with them was because there's just something about our inner being, the way God has designed us to be givers, especially in this season. And I think this is why Saint Nick resonated with so many people. Not to mention the fact that during the time when this came up, I mean, people were probably very much in need. And so this kind of, you know, was fitting for the season.
That's absolutely right. And there is a story about St. Nicholas that is probably historically accurate, that even before he became a priest, he saved three daughters of a poor man from having to become prostitutes.
Wow.
By throwing bags of coins through their window at night.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they had a dowry for a proper marriage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. There's so much to this. I got to imagine as you were pulling back the onion skins of all these traditions, you know, how this expanded your appreciation and why you just had to, you had to write this book. I mean, this is a gift that God and the universe gave to you, and you're giving it to us this Christmas. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a joy to write, and I really hope my readers enjoy it as much as I enjoyed writing it.
Exactly. Let's talk about some of the traditions of mischief and mayhem and the ghoulish figures. I mean, whenever you have something good, you've got to have, a little bit of the bad with it, right?
That's absolutely right. Or at least one of the big things that surprised me about that when researching this book is the dark side of Christmas. Mm. There are so many stories about witches, goblins, elves, which were scary creatures before they were tamed to make toys for Santa. When Dickens, as Ebenezer Scrooge, visited by three ghosts on Christmas Eve, that's not random. He's drawing from a very long and scary tradition.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, again, these are the things that linger. What about two broken organs and a California heat wave and the Cuban Missile Crisis? What do they all have in common here?
So they all are the inspiration for Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. So the song Do You Hear What I Hear was actually a response to the Cuban Missile Crisis in October 1962. Mm-hmm. The couple, it was a songwriting couple, they were really worried about the likelihood of nuclear war, and they wrote this song. And when you hear the lyrics in that light, it totally makes sense. One of the final verses is, "Pray for peace, people everywhere."
Right.
And when they wrote that, that wasn't a throwaway line. That was an urgent plea.
Yeah, exactly. And so out of Do You Hear What I Hear, we have the modern day version of Can You Hear Me Now, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Okay, the California heat wave. What did that give us?
So, summers sometimes do give us good Christmas stuff, and in July 1945, California was experiencing a terrible heat wave. Mm-hmm. Mel Torme went to his writing partner and went into his home, and he wasn't anywhere to be seen, but he looked on the man's piano, and he saw four lines, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, dressed up as Eskimos, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy came in, Mel said, "Hey, what's this all about?" And his friend said, "Mel, I've tried everything, but I cannot cool down. I've taken a dip in the pool, I've had a cold drink. I figured if I could just get into the mental space of winter,
right,
I could cool down." Well, Mel said, "This makes a great song." And within 45 minutes, they had completed the lyrics and the music. And then they went to their friend that very day. They went to their friend, Nat King Cole, and they played it for him. And Nat King Cole said, "That's my song."
Mm. Wow. Wow.
So one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time would have never been written if they had had air conditioning in 1945.
Exactly. And you could relate to this. I mean, writing the book in the middle of summer in Texas, right?
I think I was exactly right. I felt great consolation hearing that story.
Two broken organs.
So one organ was broken, one organ wasn't. So
a priest in Austria wanted to celebrate a high mass on Christmas Day for his congregation, but the organ was broken, and so he couldn't. So he felt really bad, but he wanted to give them some kind of musical consolation. So he dusted off a poem that he had written to celebrate the end of the Napoleonic Wars. He wrote a poem called Silent Night, and because the night was silent, because the guns of war were finally silenced across Europe. And he quickly asked a friend to add music to this poem, and that was the first performance of Silent Night.
Boy, isn't that special for you? I mean, you're going through it, and it's special for us, too, because we hear the backstory of these songs, and it brings them back to life in a whole new way, Michael. I tell you, this is such a blessing. What about the countdowns to Christmas, New Year, and beyond? Let's unveil that tradition.
Oh, sure. So there are countdowns to Christmas. And then after that, you've got the 12 days of Christmas, which is this period of unbroken merriment between December 25th and the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th. But the countdown of Christmas, depends if it's the commercial season, it's supposed to be the day after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. In the church calendar, it is the season of Advent, which is this period of joyful anticipation.
Exactly.
And then there is the 8 days before Christmas, which were called the Golden Nights. There's nothing extra that was done, but it was a time of sort of heightened anticipation.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Amazing. The title of the book, we've got to talk about, why do we kiss under the mistletoe?
So the short answer is the Druids. they thought that the mistletoe was a magical plant. It was green in the dead of winter. It had berries in the winter. It lived without ever touching the soil. You know, it was high in the air on the branches of a tree. So they thought it was pretty special. Mm-hmm. And they would often make peace under the mistletoe. When Christianity came around, the Christians basically added their own signature greeting of peace, which is the holy kiss. Mm-hmm. And that is why we kiss under the mistletoe.
It's supposed to be a holy kiss that the Apostle Paul talks about, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So the kiss of peace.
Yes. Wow. That is awesome. You know, I'm never going to look at a mistletoe the same again. Thank you very much. That's good. Well, he is the celebrated author of Drinking with the Saints series. Dr. Michael Foley has been our guest. His new book, which will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com, Why We Kiss Under the Mistletoe, Christmas Traditions Explained. And maybe, Michael, what you can do and what they could do and be encouraged to do is these are great traditions, and maybe there's space to start your own traditions and expand on these, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Without a doubt. Merry Christmas, Michael. Thank you for being with us. Take care. God bless.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow